Now, take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would, please. This is my first time at this church. I know some of you folks are visiting. It may be a first or second time for you. But folks, if God gives me the opportunity, I preach this passage. Now, I don't just do what I think needs to be done. I seek God's face. I want to make sure I'm doing what He would have done. But folks, this is one of those get after you verses. It's a message entitled Motivated Unto Faithfulness. Because folks, what I see today, more people sit than serve. There's not much sacrifice going on for the cause of Christ. And if you're in the category of unfaithful instead of faithful, God's not pleased with who and what you are. Now, you may have some high times and some good times in the midst of your unfaithfulness, but for sure, your sin will find you out. You're going to reap what you sow. So I want to talk about being motivated unto faithfulness. Now, with that in mind, wouldn't this be gooder than good, as I mentioned, if all of you showed up this afternoon? Yeah. You didn't just come here to put on the feed bag. You came here to feed on the Word of God. Now, folks, why isn't that the way it should be? Shouldn't you all be back for the afternoon service? Shouldn't every one of you who physically can and not with work obligation, I understand all that stuff, but shouldn't every person in this room be more than a Sunday morning only person? But that's what you've become. And you're really spotty even on Sunday morning. Folks, listen, Brother Josh doesn't preach the same thing Sunday morning he's going to preach on Wednesday or even on Sunday night. And what happens, you miss certain portions of your maturing process when you pick and choose as far as faithfulness is concerned. Folks, the more I get in a closer relationship with Jesus, I don't want less of the Word of God. I want more of the Word of God. So I'm not here to scold you people. I'm trying to help you. If you are doing less than more for your relationship in Jesus, something's wrong with your relationship in Jesus. You don't have to be here every time the doors are open, but you should want to. And you should be disappointed when you miss any opportunity of feeding on this blessed Word of God, being enriched by the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But it doesn't seem to bother you. You better be bothered because, folks, we'll all give an account. And you know what I've found? Again, Pastor hadn't told me, hey, make sure you preach to this person. Do that. Oh, we don't talk about that stuff. I want the Holy Spirit to guide me. But if you're not wanting the things of Jesus Christ and you're just after the things of the world, you better check out your personal relationship with Jesus because he that continually practices sin. And folks, unfaithfulness is sin, whether you want to, again, dub it as that. When you're constantly going away from Jesus instead of to Him, you're in sin. And Jesus today wants to fix what's broken, not to make you miserable and bored. No, He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be enriched so you, in turn, can enrich the lives of others. You love your grandkids, you need more Jesus. They don't need your money as much as they need more riches and treasures of wisdom and knowledge through this book. They need a godly grandpa, a godly grandma, a godly mom and dad. And folks, you know what? Folks aren't getting that in the head and most certainly in the heart and down into their feet. But folks, that's the only way things work the way they're supposed to work. So I'm going to be here. Wouldn't you kind of be scratching your head if I didn't show up? But you don't seem to think it's a big deal because you don't show up. It's a big deal when you're not here because part of the body of Christ is not there to do what the body's supposed to do. Now, again, folks, I don't do this everywhere I go, you know, especially if I'm there a second or third time because I've already given this spiel. But, folks, something's rotten in Denmark. And you got to figure out if you're motivated to unfaithfulness instead of faithfulness. Here's the second thing. I don't always do this either, but it's my first time here. I'm going to give an invitation. And guess what? I expect you to respond to the invitation. You know, the Word of God cuts your heart. God wants a response in a favorable way to do His will and His working. Now, the altar call, can you all fit down here at the altar? Well, you know, we'll do our best to try to do that. And I know, folks, you can get right, you know, stand on your head in the bathtub. I get that. There's nothing magical or mystical about the altar area. But there's something, listen carefully, very impacting. When you finally say no to your flesh, step out by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, unashamed that God's working in your heart and your relationship with Him, and humbly you fall on your face before a holy God. Now, I don't know how that all works, but I know what kind of work it does. It again brings you to a position and again a right opportunity to buy up in the conviction of God's love and work to your heart. So, you know, maybe we won't have enough counselors. Well, God will help you deal with it. But talk to me. Talk to Brother Josh. There's some godly people in this church who can help you have the victory, not through them, but through this blessed book and the power and working of Almighty God. So where are we going this morning? Motivated unto faithfulness. In this passage, there are four things that Paul sets forth that really directed him to get the job done the way it was supposed to be done. So let's bow our heads and hearts and let's ask God again to just work us over and just bring forth that which pleases Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You and rejoice in this opportunity of special meetings. Lord, I hope they're special. I hope they're greatly anticipated in every heart. But Lord, if we only get to do this morning, that's enough to change a life forever. Lord, You could save a soul today if they're willing to admit they're a sinner and receive You here today. Lord, last meeting, I got to see a couple folks, a guy, a young man, and a young woman. They got saved, and because of their salvation, Lord, now that their friend got saved. And Lord, that's just the way You work. And God, I know You're looking to do that work today in that heart that I know is empty because You're the only one who can fill the void. So Lord, save souls today, whether it's during this service or even while we're down, you know, pigging out down the out in the gymnasium. Lord, don't let them leave this property without knowing for sure they're on their way to heaven. For us believers, God, we need a good up the side of the head as such as far as the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And a reminder, Lord, of what we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to do, and how we're supposed to get it done. So, Lord, use this preacher. Fill me with Your power. And God, help these folks to have ears to hear. And God, for what You do. And God, I understand I'm just the messenger. God, what You do, help us to give praise, honor, and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Now, again, if you're a note taker, you're going to love me. You might want to write it down in the margin of your Bible. You can write in your Bible. Yes. It always scares me when some old lady comes up to me and says, I've had this Bible since I came across on the Mayflower. And you know what? She doesn't read her Bible enough. Folks, if you're a student of Scripture, you'll be wearing this Bible out, that next Bible out. I know, keep them, they're precious. God is so good. But it's a workbook. It's a textbook for you to be, again, knowledgeable and functional for the cause of Jesus Christ. Don't disrespect it. Don't abuse it. But use it. Y'all with me here? And you'll wear it out if you do it right. Look down with me at the first motivating factor of faithfulness in verse 8. It says this, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If you're taking notes, write down a confidence of heaven. Now, folks, I'm an Indiana boy. I'm a hoopster kid growing up. And they still play basketball in Michigan, don't they? Okay. Well, you know, growing up in Indiana, you know, it's a dumb thing to shoot at the wrong end of the hoop. Do they know that up here in Michigan? You know, if you're on one team, you should be at this end of the floor instead of that end. That happened in junior high. It was the funniest thing to see. Not for the guy that did it, but for the rest of us. But you know what, folks? Too many Christians are shooting at the wrong end of the floor. But maybe that's the end of the floor they're a part of. They're of their father, the devil. And the lust of their father, they will continue to do. I was preaching years ago when I first started evangelism in Nitro, West Virginia. Does anybody know where that is? I'll show you how geographically astute you are. You can't get there from here, folks. It's down in the wallers and hollers of West Virginia. And I was preaching for a guy by the name of Bill Agerdahl. Now, folks, it's a Wednesday night. I get there kind of early, putting on my preaching clothes. And I run into this handsome, bald guy. Handsomest people in the church from my observation. Okay. Well, what happened was this guy, he was just lit. Do you know what I mean by that? I mean, he wasn't just there, you know, I'm here on Wednesday night because if I don't, God will zap me. You know people like that? This guy, I thought he was on staff. He was so friendly. He said, hey, brother, you go in this room, put on your suit and I'll guard the door. Now, I came out and I thought he's just being nice to me because I'm a visitor. He was this friendly and given to hospitality to everybody that came in. Now, this is a church about 150 folks. There are a lot of folks to go around, but this guy seemed to be doing everything. We went into the prayer meeting time. He passes out the prayer bulletins, you know. He's there doing the ushering stuff. And then, oh, people. They had a handshake time. And he wasn't one of those people I see a lot that kind of fold their arms and go, come to me, and I will bless you with my... you selfish, sick person. No, I mean, he was like Ricochet Rabbit ping-pong-ping, folks. He was from one side of the auditorium to the other. He was shaking every arm, every hand, rejoicing in Jesus. God is so good. He wasn't self-focused, I'll tell you right now. He was given to hospitality like we're all supposed to be, no matter what our personalities are. Well, what happened, we had the time of preaching. Now, I get one of two responses. I get people, like I mentioned, kind of looking at their watch going, is this over yet? Or I get those people on the edge of their seat. Come on, Brother Maynard, preach harder. Preach more. Come on, tell us what we need to hear from the Word of God. Now, you got to decide which one you are, and I think you know the right answer. This guy was on the edge of his seat. Then we had the invitation. Guess who was the first one down the aisle? This same nutcase. Now, people, he wasn't some doofus brain loser who didn't have anything better to do. This guy was an executive with Ashland Oil in his mid-40s, and this guy was on fire for God. Well, afterwards, we had the fellowship. Remember preaching? Food. Little preaching, a lot of food. And we went to the gymnasium for a ice cream fellowship. Guess who's serving the ice cream? Isn't there anybody else a servant in the church? Is he just, again, ripping all you brethren and sister off here? But what happened was, I pastored, I know what I'm talking about. I see some people serve, they do like this. Okay, nobody else will serve the ice cream, so I guess I will. That's not a good attitude. Are y'all with me here? That is not pleasing in God's sight. So this guy was just having a great time. Well, here comes this well-upholstered child. Little fat kid. And he, girls, I love you. I've already scarfed through your cupboards and stuff looking for styrofoam bowls and spoons. I know where everything is here. Maybe you don't, but I do. And why do we have the wimpiest, non-fillable styrofoam bowls known to mankind? You cannot get a man's portion of anything in those wimpy, girly, fall apart. I know they're cheap, but there's a reason they're cheap, people. Okay, that's my own personal problem. Well, what happened? He brought this little wimpy styrofoam bowl. And I mean, folks, he built Mount Vesuvius. Are you with me? I mean, he had ice cream upon ice cream, masterfully molded. And then he goes to the fixing table. He put on the sprinkles, the chocolate, the butterscotch, ketchup, mustard, relish, whatever's on that table, he had on his ice cream. And any mother knows what happens next, don't you? He loses the whole load. Guess who's there with the mop and bucket? This same guy. I'm standing next to Pastor. I said, Pastor, who is this masked man? He said, oh, Mike, I wish I had a church full of these guys. I said, no kidding. I want to know what makes him tick. So the next morning, we had a breakfast thing, and we went to this spiritual meeting place, Bob Evans. You're okay. So, you know, this is probably the first time I wasn't looking to fill my body with artery-clogging stuff. And I just wanted to hear what he was all about. I said, okay, we got the ordering out of the way. Tell me, have you always been this excited for Jesus? Now, you church folks, listen. He said, no, it happened a year ago. I said, okay, I'm listening. What happened a year ago? He said, well, let me tell you this first. He said, I've been a deacon, Sunday school teacher, supervisor. I've mowed the yard for you people. Shovel the snow. I've done everything in a church that you could possibly be a part of. And I was always there when the doors were open and most of the time when the doors weren't open. I said, again, were you always excited? He said, no, it happened a year ago. I said, oh, please tell me what happened a year ago. He says, I got saved. I'm head scratching like you are. But you've done all this busy stuff. You've been very faithful. He went on visitation. I mean, he did the functioning duties in an abundant fashion to the local church. But he was lost. I said, how did you come to that revelation and understanding? He says, well, I was there on a Wednesday night. Of course, you're there on Wednesday night. They're giving testimony. Unless you're a backslidden, low-life buzzard, you're going to give a testimony. And I stood up, and when I sat down, the Holy Spirit of God said, liar, hypocrite, you work on in my name and on my behalf. You profess me to know me as your Savior, but you've never repented of your sin and received me as your personal Savior. So what'd you do next? He said, I went home and I got saved. He said, I was so under conviction. I knew the Romans road. I know John 3:16. He said, that wasn't the problem. It was here and it wasn't here. Y'all catching on to the illustration, folks? You could be busy, 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 having all that stuff in your head, but not having Jesus in your heart. Now, he told me, he says, I'm a visitation guy, but I'm not a soul winner. Huh. You know why? Because he needed to be saved himself. I said, tell me what happened when you really nailed it down and knew Christ. Listen to me, the Bible came alive. He said, I can't put the Bible down. I mean, anytime I get a break, I feed on the Word of God. That ain't you. You, again, you don't even know where your Bible is. And some of you leave it in your car so you look good when you come to church, if you even come to church. Folks, wait a minute. Remember, how often are we supposed to search the Scripture? What's that verse? Daily. Search the Scriptures daily. And don't stop there. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You don't even know where your Bible is, or maybe you don't even have one, even though you say you're a faithful Christian. You're not a faithful Christian. I said, what else do you notice? He said, listen to this. He said, try to shut me up. He says, I want to tell everybody I know about Jesus. I said, are you afraid of losing your job? Remember the executive, Big Bucks boy? He said, now listen, you mean my mission field? Isn't that the right perspective? Why does God have you in that neighborhood? Why does God have you in that school? To be His ambassador, His representative. That's why He lets you go and do what you do so you can be there on His behalf. And you don't even think about that, let alone let that be your procedure and presentation of life. I said, any rough spots? He said, I'm still lazy. I'm having trouble memorizing Scripture. I said, oh boy, join the ever-loving flesh weak club here. But folks, what made a difference? Now look up here, because this may be you. Busy, 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 but not saved. Folks, yeah, once you get saved, busy, busy, busy. But it's all for naught as such, unless you know the one you're here to serve, and the one in your business you're there to give glory and honor and attention to. Are you just coming to church for an attaboy? Or man, he must be spiritual. You know what, folks that know you real well? No, you're not. Because folks, spirit will bear witness with spirit. Folks, the one motivating factor like none other will be a confident, personal, biblical relationship with Jesus. Now, folks, you don't have to mess around with eternity any longer. On the invitation, I'm going to be up here. Josh is going to be right here. And, folks, if you're in need of receiving Jesus, let us help you know Jesus. We can't save you, but we can sure show you from the Word of God how you can know, you know, that you know that Jesus is Savior. And you don't have that assurance, but you can today. I don't care what they're feeding on. If we miss the meal, we'll hop in a car and we'll drive 3 hours and go to McDonald's or something, okay? Are y'all with me? You know, I'll buy. You know, if you need to get saved, don't let anything keep you. That's why God brought you here today. He didn't just bring you here to be entertained by Brother Maynard or again, just to be religious. No, He wants to have a relationship with you. I better go to the next one so we can go eat. Look down at verse 9. First of all, a confidence of heaven. Secondly, a concern to please Christ. Folks, is it true we do what we want to do? And when you're looking to please Jesus, that's what you'll want to do. Look down with me in this verse. It says, wherefore we labor, that present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now, folks, you know, if we love someone or we want to raise or we want to deepen a relationship, we give attention to that activity or that relationship, don't we? So if you're looking to, again, please the boss, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, He bought you with a price, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. So if you're not looking to please the boss, guess what? He's probably not the boss. You're living for someone or something. It could be television. It could be the temporal things of this world. And folks, those things, you know, at some point aren't really sin in and of themselves, but they become sin because you're looking to please them more than please Jesus. Now, we're going to give an account. Look down at the verses that follow. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." That's the bema. "That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to the done, whether it be good or bad." Now, we have some folks that aren't as church probably as much as others, so let me give a little theology here. Now, there are two judgment seats. Do you all folks understand that? There's this one. This is for believers, the bema. That's where you'll give an account of what you did and what you didn't do. And you know God's keeping records. Y'all with me? God doesn't forget, like we have a tendency to kind of shove under the rug as such. But you will give an account of your life in Him. Now, the other judgment is the great white throne judgment. You won't go there. That's for folks that reject Jesus. You know what God's going to say with a broken heart? "Depart from me. I never knew you." Now, God knows everything. It just means He didn't know you as His own because you rejected His free gift, the gift of eternal life that only comes one way, through Jesus Christ. So, folks, you show who you're living for by who or what you give attention to the most. It should be, if it's right, unto Jesus. A concern to please Christ. Go to the next one, found out what a motivating factor this is. First of all, a confidence of heaven. Make sure before you leave here, you know you're saved. Secondly, make a right choice to live for Jesus and nothing or anything else more than Him. Nothing should matter to you more than that which matters unto Jesus. Isn't that a good statement? That's a great statement. Let me go down to verse 14 here where it talks about, this is a biggie, a constraint of love. A constraint of love. The love of Christ constraineth us. Now, let me explain this because this is not as obvious as maybe the others are. Folks, back in verse 9, Paul was talking about his depth of commitment of heart and mind to please and honor Jesus. Y'all got me on that? Here in this verse, it's talking about Paul's understanding, through the Holy Spirit, of course, of who Jesus is. God incarnate. God came to this earth, Jesus, and He died. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And people, He did that for you and me. And Paul's saying, the least I can do is get off my stool and do nothing and be faithful to Him. The least I can do is be here when I can get more preaching of the Word of God. The least I can do is be faithful until Jesus takes me home. Now, we know most people aren't faithful, don't we? I mean, are we willing to come to that conclusion? Most people don't give their all and best for Jesus. Just a fact, a sad fact of Christianity today. So why aren't you faithful? That's what we're dealing with here today. Now, here's my conclusion. I think it's because you don't know Him. I'm saved. Yeah, but you still don't know Him. What do you mean? You know Him as your Savior, but you don't take time to get to know Him better every single day, which He wants to do that on your behalf. You know why I love Brother Josh so much? I've known the guy since he was a punk, brain-dead teenager. Are you with me here? And even beyond, I preached for his dad. I really don't remember life without Pastor Josh. And folks, can I tell you something? You have a jewel. I'm telling you, you don't even know what a jewel you have yet. I have never been with a teenager who was godly, making right decisions, who kept on making godly decisions, and now is even more faithful today. And that's the preacher you got. And you're going to grow up together. He's going to get better as he goes because he's staying in the book and staying on his knees and again, looking to God, honor and glorify God. Just do what I'm talking about here. But here's what will help you be motivated by a constraint of love. Again, understand who He is. Get to know Him through the book. If you make no other decision today, this will change your life and your ministry. You come to this altar and say, God, help me not be lazy. Isn't that what usually the problem is? God, don't let me again put things to be more important than your thing. God, I need to know you better every day by spending quality, abundant time in the Word of God. Why do I love Josh so much? Because we spend a lot of time together. And you know what? The more I get to know him, the deeper and more rich our relationship becomes. It's going to happen that way even more so in your relationship with Jesus if you'll be smart enough to again get to know him like he wants to reveal himself. Teenager, listen to me. You know, I know Justin Bieberhead. He's just such a tattooed, confused child. Or, you know, Whitney Spearthrower. I don't know who they are, people. You know, I don't listen to that stuff anymore. I like a lot of it, but I don't listen to it. But you know what, folks? Why again are we so enamored with people who are just empty, hollow, and really don't have a clue? Why don't we go to the one that is the answer? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because, folks, again, He's the one that fixes what's broken. You want to go to the last point? Don't get excited. It's not a quick closer. Okay, go down to verse 20. Let me review for those that slept in between the points. Stay with me here. You know, I do throw hymnals if you get too nodding off back there. Just let me know if you're on drugs so I don't hurt you. Now, folks, listen. I really believe it's my responsibility to keep you awake. I do. If I see you sleeping, you're not getting what God brought me here to give you. So if you're snoozing and losing, folks, I might come right next to you and go, boo! Okay, just so you hear the message. Okay, so what we've had is a confidence of heaven. You got to make sure you're saved. Are you okay, teenager, green shirt guy? Are you all right? Man, that was I tell you, if you'd have yawned, you'd have swallowed that poor woman next to you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, am I okay? Am I boring you? Is everything all right? You know, are you okay? I mean, if you want to close her up right now, hey, I won't listen to you anyway. Okay, so, first of all, confidence of heaven. Secondly, hey, I'm here to please Jesus, a concern to please Christ. Then the motivation of heart. See, folks, again, you can be mechanical without the right heart. You can be functional without the faithfulness in your relationship with Jesus. That's where this constraint of love stuff comes in, as you know Him better every day. And then here's the privilege. We get to serve on His behalf. A calling. Would you write that in your notes? A calling. And boy, what a calling it is. Look at verse 20. It says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Now folks, being an ambassador today is a very life-threatening thing. Y'all with me? Especially under former administration, and I don't belittle what happened, but you know what? Folks, we understand, I believe, what an ambassador is, what an ambassador does. What is it for kids that might not know? It just, you go to a foreign land to represent where you're from. Now, where are we from, folks? Well, I live down on County Road ZYXY7394. Yeah, no, that's your temporary dwelling spot. You know where your home is if you're a believer? Let me give you the song. This world is not my home. What, folks? I'm just a passing through. You know what you've done? You've unpacked your suitcase. Folks, I go to a different church every week. I don't unpack my suitcase. If you go down my room right now, it's open like a big toasted cheese, wide open, ready to be cooked on the old griddle here. Grilled cheese for you non-understanding people. And so what happens, folks, you get so embedded, so again, deeply rooted into the world, and you wonder why you're dysfunctional for Jesus. Not real hard to figure out. You're not being the ambassador of your homeland like you're supposed to. You know, I read this in devotions. I've read through the book of Acts this week a couple times. And you know, in the book of Acts, it said they could tell that they were with Jesus. You know, talking about the disciples, I want that, don't you? I want people, when they hear my conversation, when they're around me a long period of time, to really know what makes me tick. They can tell I've got a close relationship to Jesus. Do your kids see that? Do your neighbors know that? Do the people you work with, do they even know you're a Christian? You're again at that neighborhood, in that family, in that job. You're there to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And you know the exciting thing about this, folks? God, this is a great statement. Ready? Don't step. Oh, man, if you laid on that and you started drooling, you could drown. You all with me here? I don't want that to happen, so you stay awake. You with me? Stay up straight. You know, and see, if you fall and you hit your head, you may wake up the bald guy behind you. You know what I'm saying? And, oh, he'd be a grump. You all with me? You with me? Can I go on? Am I embarrassing you sufficiently? Okay. So, here's the thing. This is a great statement. Some of you have been making excuses. Oh, I just can't live the life, man. I just can't do this stuff. Ding, ding, ding. Right answer. But can we still do all things through Christ and He'll strengthen us? Here's the statement. God will never order up anything in your life that He won't in turn give you the wherewithal to get it done. You're just copping out making excuses and you're loving the wrong person, the wrong thing at the wrong time. You're making excuses. You are a blame shifter. You're in sin. God will give you what it takes if He calls you to be an ambassador. What's the capability? And you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Target, Walmart, Kmart's at their left, Meyer, I know where I am, people, hometown, Greenville, Michigan, all right. But you know what, folks? Wherever you're going, God will give you the stuff, as we would say, to be faithful to the calling upon your life. You know what else He gives you? He gives you compassion, calling, capability, compassion. It says that same Holy Spirit that indwells you at salvation, He'll again spread the love of God abroad in your hearts, Romans chapter 5. Isn't that great? You don't have to be a bully for Jesus or a bad attitude. No, folks, it will be just the opposite if you have a right relationship in Christ Jesus. Now, the last thing, and we'll go to the gym. You ready for this? Why are we not faithful? Because another C word. Are you ready for this? Commitment. Oh, doesn't that make you shudder? Isn't that amazing how we're committed to everything but the best thing? Isn't that true? How much we give to politics, or again to productivity financially or temporal things of this world, but we give just a smidgen at best for the things of Jesus Christ. Folks, guess what God's after? Commitment unto Him. So are you motivated to be faithful or are you unfaithful? Again, let me review. Confidence of heaven. Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Secondly, a concern to please Christ. You just make a choice to prove your love. And Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to do what? That means just do what I say. You're looking to listen to me instead of you or the world around you. Number three, a constraint of love. Remember the decision that would help every teenager here? You commit to read your Bible. Shut your music off. Get off the computer. Get your iPhone. I'm not pointing. You're just being generic here. You're taking like it's conviction or something. She's going, I don't do that. Yeah, maybe you will. But, you know, you say, again, listen, people. We've got to make sure nothing interrupts or deters or distracts us from knowing Jesus better every day. And then you can be motivated by that constraint of love because you know who He is. You know what He's done. You know what He's looking to do. And then what a privilege. Is this a privilege or what? We are called to go out there on the behalf of Jesus to do His burden, to seek and to save the lost. As ambassadors for Christ, folks, I don't know what your thing is, but if it's not Jesus, you're ripping yourself off. You're missing the glory and goodness of choosing to be faithful to bring glory and honor to God. Folks, what's God want? This. He wants you motivated unto faithfulness. Bow your heads and hearts, would you please? Now again, the invitation is not some magical mystery parade here. It's simply an opportunity of stewardship to respond to God's conviction to your heart. And if you're convicted about the need of salvation, Pastor Josh is going to be right down here with me. And we're not going to sing this morning. I'm just going to have our pianist play a hymn of invitation. And as we have this hymn of invitation, it's an invitation for you to respond to God knocking on your heart's door. Now, folks, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that something worthy to buy up, open your heart, let Him do what He knows is needed and best? Well, yeah. So if the need is salvation, tell Pastor Josh, I'm not saved. Or I need to make sure that I'm saved. As a Christian, I'm not going to re-preach a message, but God's knocked on your heart door and brought conviction from head to toe. Why don't you do what He wants? Why don't you honor Him? Now, invitations, folks, are for us. You know that. But most importantly, they're for Jesus. Secondly, it's for others. But I like the aspect when you respond unashamed to God's work and you kick the devil in the teeth. That's worth coming forward if nothing else, isn't it? But don't miss God's work in your heart. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Again, we'll have a word of prayer. We'll open up the altar. Now, there's some walkers and stuff down the aisle, but just kind of maneuver past those. There's room to sit on the front if you can't kneel. If you need to come around to the side where the electric piano organ is, well, do that. But folks, don't let your flesh win the victory. Yield to the work of God today. Heavenly Father, help us now as we have this invitation. God, continue to convict our hearts. I know hearts are convicted. Lord, You're working. But Lord, help it to take that next step of, what's that C word again? Commitment. Commitment, Lord, of obedience to what You would have.